I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel, introducing you to members of our church staff, people from our community. It's a treat and a treasure. And per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Angels in the outfield, God in the dugout, Hallie, Jesus on third base, and the disciples everywhere else. You get the gist, I think, there. How are you?
I was hanging in there for all of it. I felt like you might fall off the tightrope here and there, but you really pulled it out and stick the landing, didn't you, Gray?
Yes, I did. And I don't think you, well, if you just think about that metaphor, Hallie, you know, if you don't pull off a tightrope, and who's jumping off a tightrope and sticking the landing, I guess is what I'm saying. You stick the landing in gymnastics.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
I've been doing a slack line lately with, I'm not sure if I mentioned him before, but my friend Clay Mason Bannerman in the park. And we set up the slack line. Our girlfriends do it with us. It's really great.
Oh, you still dating the twins?
Still dating the twins. It's going really great, Hallie. Very, very strong relationship there.
Tiffer and Mickey, Mickey and Tiff?
That's right. Tiffer and Mickey, Mickey and Tiff.
Wow, that is too blessed. Just like you and me, my brother.
We're going to a couples conference soon.
Couples conference?
Yeah.
Never heard of a couples conference.
Well, it's a couples conference where, well, we decided that we're just going to send either me and Mickey or Clay and Tiffa so that each of us can report back to the other person's partner, since the twins are the same, essentially.
Oh, really? That's right. Like twins, identical twins, they share a brain?
They do. They share something akin to a brain.
Wow.
It's not the physical brain. I would say it's the spiritual brain.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The Holy Spirit speaks the exact same things in each of their ears, all
Absolutely.
Four of those ears.
It's just, yeah, it's awesome.
Are they identical? Do they look exactly alike?
We can't tell them apart, Hallie. And
oh,
you know
wow.
what's fun? And this was really cute, is just the other week, they told us, you know, they've just been really upset lately because I guess the parents had gotten divorced.
Oh, no, it grieves
and
the heart again.
Even though they're in their 20s, they really were upset and just wanted the parents to get back together. And what they did is one cut a hair short and one kind of put on a wig to look like the other. One has short hair, one has long hair. And they... The one that is closest to the dad flew out to live with the mom for a while in California.
Oh.
And the one who's closest to the mom went out to the dad's ranch to live with him for a while. And they were just trying to get them back together.
Isn't that so great? So the dad thought the one with the long hair had cut her hair short, but it was the short haired one all along.
Yes.
And
vice versa.
Now, that's a storyline. Wow.
It was really. It didn't end great because I guess it gave the parents quite a shock they uncovered it. And the parents are old.
Is
very
that right?
Old, yeah. And I guess. In the case of the dad, he had a weak heart and that sort of pushed him over the edge. In the case of the mom, I guess not a very stable brain.
Oh.
Speaking of brains, and she's... She's at some kind of a brain facility where they try to fix your broken brain.
Oh, wow. Is she a vegetable?
No, she still talks, but yeah, just, you know, kind of says the same things over and over, like, you know, that scared me. Why would you do that to me? Et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I kept saying it's for that your intentions were pure. Isn't that the most important thing? That it was your intentions. You're trying to get the parents back together.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on. I it might have been a slur. I didn't mean it like that. But is it okay to call someone comatose a vegetable? And also, why would we call them a vegetable when we're not fibrous at all? I mean, we're meat. If anything, you talk about going to the bar is like a meat market. You know, we're basically just animated beef jerky. Really, why don't we say, is she a hunk of meat?
I don't know, Hallie, but I will tell you, I've met quite a few vegetables. Some of them work here, and I don't think they would consider that a slur at all.
Okay, good. Well, that's true. And forgive me if this is too personal a question, Gray, but you said that the girls, Tiffer and Mickey, Mickey and Tiff, that their parents are aged or elderly.
They're so old.
Well, how old, if you don't mind me asking, how old are the girls?
They're in their 20s.
Is that right?
Just like me and Clay.
Oh.
Well, you know, generally speaking, you know, they definitely were all in that era of, you know, of 20s.
Well, doesn't Clay Mason Bannerman have an adult son who went AWOL from the military?
I don't really want to get into this, Hallie.
Okay. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, just like Job was tested to his limits, our guest today has seen some acts of God test his faith, and he remains strong. Welcome back to the program, your friend and mine, Reverend Jody Land. How you feeling today, Jody?
Oh my gosh, this is really truly a blessing. I never thought I'd be back talking to you guys again like this, and it's There's good, that's good, but sometimes the circumstances, you know, they're challenging sometimes.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it, because I am fascinated by your story. As listeners will remember, a few years ago, you were here because we were allowing your church to meet in one of our chair storage rooms while you were rebuilding your church that sadly had gotten taken out by a tornado.
You showed us unbelievable grace to allow us to use your space. And, you know, we were devastated. Now, no lives were lost. I want to make sure people remember that we lost none of our congregation, but a tornado singled us out, blew our former place on Flower Street to pieces. And then we spent over a year meeting there with you all in the chair room. It was plenty big for us.
Wow.
Yeah. So and luckily, it was about 29 people, I think. And we definitely have more than 29 chairs down there, don't we?
Oh, everyone could put their feet up.
Well,
that's for sure.
I tell you what, Pastor Jody, I just think that it's so cool to see how your faith is unshaken, even though these acts of God, you know, have caused such strife. I mean, how's the church doing now? And are you interested in bringing your flock over here where the lights are on and the facilities are state of the art?
Lights, facilities, walls, all of that is really, really a blessing. Never take that for granted. Yeah, we're interested in coming back. In fact, we will start meeting back again with you all in the coming week.
Oh, really?
Heading right back.
Why is that?
Yes. Why is that? Well, your faith is shaken, and then it's shaken again, and you know what? You get used to the shaking. Uh-huh. And maybe that's what faith is.
Wow.
Maybe unshaken faith isn't faith at all.
Wow.
That's just milk and ice cream.
Isn't that
but
right?
You shake it, and you know, then it's
milk
dessert.
Shake, I guess.
And okay. That's right. So it was you may have heard only about 3 weeks ago, we had rebuilt. We were with you all for over a year, and then Flower Street blossomed again, not in our former location. We were able to get a plot of land. We were able to build a building, and we had months of happy meeting, and, well, sinkhole got us.
Oh, my land.
A sinkhole.
This happened in the middle of the night, and we got the news from the police, and I headed over there. Couldn't see hide or hair of the building. Gone.
Really?
Completely gone. Sucked underground.
Wow.
Just opened up and ate it right up.
Like quicksand in a cartoon, huh?
Yes, that's exactly right. They should have left just a fedora sitting on the ground, you know? just a building's hat.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was devastating to say the least. We are on the hunt for a place to rest again for a minute and regroup, regather, and handle this this trauma.
Oh, wow. I mean, I hope it's not too soon to be asking the question, but how do you interpret, you know, you got your first church was taken out by a tornado that really, I think eventually they ended up saying was a total anomaly, a weather anomaly, that a tornado would touch down in one place and then go straight back up into the sky and take the church with it.
Wow.
That's right. We had some climatologists study this. There was a program at the university. Some graduate students actually looked into it. They ran all sorts of whatever they do with computers these days. And they said that what happened was impossible. They said, we have nothing. We have no research to back it up. Mathematics won't handle it. Nothing's ever happened like that before. And their consensus, it was a very short paper that they wrote that simply said, this looks personal.
Wow.
Wow. And then now a sinkhole. So you had one come from above and below. And I just, how do you square that with a faith that you've said time and time again, it's only made you stronger, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And now I am so strong. I am so strong, but not unchanged. Not unchanged. I got to say, Job was tested.
Yep.
Yeah. You said it yourself. Yep. Job was tested. Yep. And what did Job do when he was tested? He fought back. Yep. Not in literal terms. He didn't. But, you know, Job must have been changed. Mm. And so I guess I'm Job in this situation. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And so I really had to search my soul.
Yep.
Because not only is it strength that you get from this, but the other gift you get is that special gift of the Spirit that I call anger. I'm furious.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a God-given emotion. Right. So you might back off of anger. You might say, this doesn't feel right to be this angry and to have knuckles, this bloody, you know, I have punched the wall, literally and figuratively.
In the chair room? Oh, okay.
No, I wouldn't do it at your building. I wouldn't do it at your building. But you know what? Sometimes you lose a little control. At home, Dallas says to me, she says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I'm crying and she's crying. And she says, "The kids are home." And I yell at the kids and they leave. They go stay with friends for a couple of days. And I'm throwing chairs and I grabbed a hold of it. It's hard to pull a refrigerator down, but you can get close.
Wow.
I'm all over the house just banging around. And I think this is in me. This is from God. So got to use this some way to channel it. And that's the work in progress now, is figuring out what to do with all this righteous anger, because we're clearly a target.
Yeah, that's right. It seems the evil one is after you, Jody. And I don't know if the evil one can control the weather or not. You know, we do say that the weather is an act of God, mm-hmm. you know, and I always do think, you know, that God is, you know, in control of that stuff. Really, mm-hmm. truly, mm-hmm. nature is his realm.
I agree.
And I can see how you're angry, and it's okay that you are, because you're a man, just like Jesus was a man, mm-hmm. and Jesus got angry in the temple, didn't he? He threw those tables right over.
Mm-hmm. And that scared Dallas. I was flipping tables over every room, our furniture, a lot of it's ruined. Oh. I mean, I'm the tornado now, right? Oh. And she's crying and crying and crying. Now, she's staying with her mom for a bit, and I am just a ball of fury, but you know, I think sounding it all out, maybe it's just a correction. You might remember we had certain beliefs that weren't mainstream, that had no spiritual basis, that we had inherited from our forebears and our denomination. And I think maybe we made things too complicated.
Right. Mm.
Maybe we separated ourselves too much, yeah, you know, yeah. And maybe they're saying, stop being alone.
And just to remind our listeners, what was your denomination? Because to me, at one point, it sounded like a college of some sort, but then it also had a few other words tacked on there. And you also believed in some version of triple predestination that I always was a bit unsure of.
Well, great. You've pretty much summed it up there, and you've hit on it. So we were the Congregationalist Baptist Midwest College. Now, college in this case wasn't a university. It's just a collective, a collegium. I don't know. What were we thinking? So we had splintered off from the regular Congregationalist Baptists, a little more mainstream than we, but still pretty splintered. And the sticking point was the Calvinist doctrine, was our version of our view of predestination, which was that it happened in three parts, a la the Trinity, that each part of the Godhead had its own predestination. And of course, naturally, you're predestined to salvation or sorrow. You're then also predestined not to ever know which of those you are. And then the third one that really rankled the theologians was that you could also predestine one person in your life.
Oh, you could sort of tap someone, right?
We called it the tap, and we were mocked. There was a time, maybe 1920s or so, where they called us tappers, and there were tapper churches all up and down the Midwest.
Oh, wow.
And now, is that where Jake Tapper gets his name?
I believe that's true. Oh, really? That is true.
Oh, cool.
And he is rigorous. His family's not. His family had left, but he seems to have come back into the fold. Now, he is not a part of Flower Street. Flower Street, who could be right now? But apparently, he has a column in our newsletter, the corn stalk.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if the tappers are close to the shakers or not, but I'll tell you what, the shakers, they done disappeared off the face of the earth because they didn't believe in procreating. And so now there's no more shakers. So if the tappers believe in triple predestination, maybe you've destined yourself to tap yourself right out of a religion. And over here, we're non-denominational, just like Jesus was. And you got a spot here if you like it.
Well, I will tell you this. Hallie, you sound clever there, and sometimes clever can be the enemy of the true, but what I'm saying to you, what you said is wise beyond your words, that we indeed, we did it to ourselves, we predestined ourselves. The Shakers had some silly notions, and it turns out we did too, and we got in our own way. So Flower Street has divested itself of the denomination.
Oh,
we have gone independent.
Wow.
We are now the Flower Street Independent Congregation, and the five of us are on the move.
You're like a Christian Kristen Cinema.
That's right. We're doing what she does.
So it's you and five other people. And are Dallas and the boys part of that?
Well, right now they're not. Like I said, Dallas is at her mom's.
Okay.
And the boys are with her. I really, the things I called people, I mean, I was not myself.
Oh, no.
I was not myself. So she took the dog and the kids, they're off. And I think there will be a reunion soon enough. But for now, it's me and the five guys. And we've been meeting. We actually met last week at a Five Guys.
Oh, cool. That's delicious. I mean, I like when you can put peanuts on the floor and all that stuff.
Well, I don't think they encourage it on the floor.
Oh, really? I'm always throwing them on the floor, the shells.
I think you're thinking of a Logan's Roadhouse, maybe. But,
oh, is that right?
I'm sure somebody had to clean those peanuts up. I think they discourage
really?
It.
Really? I always thought you just put them on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Now, I think that's a common misconception. We went into Five Guys last week. There were cups on the floor, straw papers, ketchup packets. Everything was on the floor, and there was a young girl. She couldn't have been older than 11th grade. She was cleaning that up. She didn't look pleased. But we've met once at a Five Guys, and that'll break the bank.
Yeah,
it's not cheap.
Well, if I might offer you a word basket of encouragement, Jody, you know you're right that you know though Job did not curse God, he was indeed a changed man, if for no other reason than that he was covered in boils, which is certainly a change. If all of your skin opens up and is oozing pus and you know excruciatingly painful, which I guess is where you're at as well.
Yeah.
I am covered in boils.
Really? Oh, really?
But I do have what our older generations called piles.
Is that right?
No, I've not heard of that. What is that exactly?
Yeah, I don't know what piles.
Well,
is it like plaque
psoriasis?
Well, that's real. Oh, really?
No, I can't, you know, why I'm airing all my dirty laundry right now. I've got hemorrhoids.
Is that right? Well, you're in good company because every woman who's had a baby has got those.
Oh God, I know. Dallas told me. Oh well, now you got nothing to complain about. Well, I've been there too. And then the things I called her.
Oh ooh. Yeah, what did you say to Dallas?
Oh, I can't. I'll happily say hemorrhoids on your podcast here, but I won't dare say the things I called her. Job did not curse God, but I certainly cursed Dallas.
Okay.
And I told her she was selfish, and that was just me talking to me, I think. But I did everything wrong. But you know, our church was swallowed by a sinkhole.
That's right. And it's funny you say sinkhole, because when you came in, I was a bit surprised or curious about the thing that you're sitting on there, and it kind of looks like a inflatable sinkhole of some sort, but it's built into your pants, and I sort of was like, oh, I thought that was a... So that is that a cushion of some sort that you've got down the back of your trousers there?
Okay, that's it's a donut. It's a proctological donut.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Donuts sound so good right now.
Mm. Yeah. Oh God. Well, you don't take a bite out of this one. It's you wouldn't like the jelly.
Well, I'll tell you what, my heart goes out to you because as a woman, we're always sitting on sloppy mattresses and such in our pants. Sorry, Gray.
What are you eating, Hallie? As soon as we started talking about hemorrhoids, you started eating, and it's really...
Well, the
second he said
donut, I remembered I had an apple cruller in here, and I'm pulling it off bit by bit like monkey bread.
Well, you're a rare breed, Hallie, that gets the appetite going when talking about anal fissures and the like, but...
Oh, bodily fluid.
But I'll say it
for me. Go ahead.
Well, you're a unique creature. Like I said, again, You have shown us grace, and we'll be meeting. They say the chair room is occupied by more chairs now, yeah. So I don't know where they'll put us. There was a room with some canopy tents. It was pretty small, but again, there's six of us, and then hopefully three more when the family comes back.
So what is the six sort of belief system now that you're orienting yourselves around, now that you lost your first church to a tornado and your second church to a sinkhole? How do you keep people in the fold, as it were? And in your case, I guess you keep it about a third of them with you, not counting your family, you know?
That's right.
And I guess counting, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, so we went way, way, way too far through the looking glass last time with our strange theology, right? And so you're faced with two roads to take. Do you just go full mainstream and say, you know, we're like everybody else? Or do you say, the other option would be, maybe we weren't unique enough.
Oh.
So I pored over verses and I found Christ says, I'm the way, I am the vine, I am, and I read over and over again in John about I am. And so there's no coincidence that we were called Flower Street, namely on account of that we were on Flower Street. But I think, I kept thinking, I am the flower. So we've changed our theology largely at this point because of the financial difficulties that I'm in right now on account of a lot of the former parts were in my name. That's a big part of the wrath. I've asked everybody to provide as much of their family fortunes as they can to me, and we're changing the name to The Flower, and that is me. I am the flower. I am the leader, and I'm still a little angry at God, and so we are basically, at this point, it's what I say goes.
That's fascinating.
Yes. Absolutely. And you know what? Again, God is big enough to handle your wrath, rage, and anger. That's all right. God is confident. You know, he's the all-powerful creator of the cosmos, and he's got no problem with you having a normal male reaction to strife. And he's a loving parent. As a parent of kids, I know when my kids get angry at me, I have grace with them, just like our Heavenly Father does.
And a lot of this came to me at the shooting range recently. And I thought there's so much untapped power in the world, and I am going to take some of that power back. I have been kneecapped too much by Dallas and by the kids and by God as well. So I am going to be the power now. And so we're going to have a few meetings here. And we'll see what the future holds once we can get a new space or something. I don't know. I'm at my wit's end.
And so why would you need much room, I guess, with six people in your whole church down there? I mean, do you need, what does a church service look like now with Flower Church? Is that what you're calling it? I am Flower Church? You're just calling it The Flower?
We are calling ourselves The Righteous Flower.
The Righteous Flower, okay.
And that's me. I am The Righteous Flower. So the rest are, we were Baptists, and you know, a flower is baptized daily.
Oh, really?
Well, you have to water a flower. Oh, so,
but not every day.
No. Regularly, okay. I meant to say. Right. God.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
What else?
Yeah, I was just pointing out that maybe not every day. That might be too much water, you know what I mean?
Right. There's just, yes, you're right. And I can't jump down your throat just because you corrected me. That people do that.
I just don't.
If you make a mistake, you need to be corrected.
Please, yeah. And this table is bolted to the floor, so I don't know why you're trying to lift up. So don't lift.
You could hurt yourself. Oh, Jody.
So you asked a question, and I haven't answered it yet.
Okay.
But I will.
Yeah, I just want you to answer the question. But I was just merely making remarks.
What was the question?
I guess my question was, after I just pointed out that you don't need to water a flower every day, and I don't think that's a big thing to bring up, and I don't think you need to grip the table quite like that. But what I'm saying,
but you have to water. You have to water it a lot. You have to water a flower a lot. You regularly water the flower. What does the service look like? That was your question.
That was my question.
And what it is it's the watering of the flower. So basically,
what kind of flower is it though? That's what I'm wondering. Is it just because there's a lot of different types of flowers?
Yeah, it's a rose. Who cares?
A rose. Oh, well, you definitely don't want to water a rose every day.
Never mind.
That's good because rose has thorns. You got to look. And you're feeling thorny lately.
Yeah,
every rose has its thorns, doesn't it? Except for those kind that they take the thorns off.
Yeah, well, you're not taking them off me.
You're
not taking them off me.
Are the thorns your hemorrhoids?
Nobody's shit. You're a barrel of laughs. You go to the open mics?
What?
Is that your thing? Is that your thing? You go to the open mics?
I don't even know what you're talking about. You mean
comedian open mics?
Oh, no, I don't.
Is that your thing?
No, I don't like comedy.
Do you go off and get laughs? Everybody's got to love you.
I don't like comedy. Right? I don't think it's cool or good. I don't really get it.
Then why are you the Joker now?
The Joker?
Are you the Joker? Is that what you are?
I'm just trying to point out that if you're a rose.
Are you in a comic book? Everything. Are those your hemorrhoids? Those are your hemorrhoids? Why did I even say it? Why did I even say that I had hemorrhoids?
You called them piles.
Piles?
Well, I was trying to be polite.
Oh, wow. But I'll tell you what, having had them a number of times, they're not thorny. It's almost like it just makes another vulva down there because
Hallie,
it just gives an inner and outer.
Just learn some manners. You, Gray, learn some manners.
I feel like I definitely have manners. I'm just saying, what's your church mm-hmm. service like now after, I think mm-hmm. we can all agree, you don't water a rose every day.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Jody, just a little bit of unsolicited godly advice. Mm-hmm. What we've learned, you know, with all our success here at Twin Hills is that what people really need and want is a culturally relevant service that's modern mm-hmm. and postmodern and you know, where where people come to church and they go, wow, this is church. I mean, we got lights. We fog the room. You know, sometimes there's a disco ball.
But you just
there's
let go of the table. You don't need to be doing that with the table.
It really is bolted down. It's really bolted down.
I'm not trying to steal your table.
I'm not saying you're trying to steal it. I just don't know why you'd be pulling up so hard on it while you're in an interview.
I'm just keeping busy. I'm just keeping busy while you guys talk more about your church.
Okay. Well,
you're really lucky to have a giant church. Congratulations. You must be doing everything right. And I must be doing everything wrong.
No one's saying that. Well,
there's a chance I could march you up to HR and I could probably get you hired today on the spot in a pastoral ministry way where you could start ministering to our flock.
You wouldn't hire me. I've made an idiot of myself today. I told you about my hemorrhoids, and then Gray went after me.
God, how are you bringing them back up? I think you're just kind of reminding everyone.
And honestly, Jody, the hemorrhoid might be good news, and here's why. I'm not a superstitious person, but I do know that things happen in threes. And so you had the tornado, mm-hmm. you had the sinkhole, and maybe the hemorrhoids are the third and final thing. Otherwise, you might have another act of God coming
your
way.
And if you think about it, hemorrhoids are kind of like a tornado plus a sinkhole, if you think about it. Sort of metaphorically.
What are you talking about?
Does it feel like that? Like a storm in your pants?
If you want, I will write you a detailed report on what a hemorrhoid feels like. But I can't help feel like you both are making fun of me now.
I got nothing but empathy. And I know what they feel like to a finger and from the inside. From the finger, it feels like you got two little balloons about ready to blow up on either side of the opening.
Don't work. They don't do anything.
I know. How can a cream fix a balloon? It just doesn't even make sense. I tell you what. And it's almost like your booty hole is trying to grow labias or something to protect itself.
Oh, my God.
I just really... would love to get off of this topic and get you back into that space of telling us what a church service looks like for your flower thing.
I was going to answer. My flower thing.
I don't know the name.
I'll tell you what happens at the flower thing. We sing some songs, okay? We sing some old songs.
Okay.
We sing some new songs. We listen to a lot of music and we listen to it loud.
Oh.
All right? We do some exercises. All right. We keep fit. We work on our temples.
Oh, wow.
And then usually one of us goes in the middle of the circle, not me, not myself. And we correct each other. We tell each other maybe what we're doing wrong, where things have gone wrong. And there's, a little pushing back. It's a very masculine dialogue.
Do you get into the middle of the circle?
Helpful. Nobody's pushing me around. Nobody's pushing me around, Gray.
I think this is interesting. And is the music secular music or?
It's whatever.
Okay.
It's whatever we bring in. It's a lot of Primus. That's what Roy has.
Oh, they're Primus. Very Christian adjacent, I think, like Creed.
Look, I don't know what all the bands are they bring in. Again, I can be the DJ here. I can send you a playlist if that's what you really care about. But I can't help, Gray. You're waiting for me to say something silly again so you can make that face.
I don't. I'm really trying to. I've never heard of Primus.
You're making the face again.
I'm only making the face because I'm worried you're about to flip over the table, which you haven't stopped pushing up on since.
It's bolted to the ground. You told me it 50 times.
I know, so maybe stop.
It'd be stupid if I tried to flip it over.
Right.
It seems like you are trying, though, because that vein in your forehead is bulging when you really give it a good push.
I'm not well.
I'm so sorry. You are at that point that Joe
was
at.
Are you bringing up the hemorrhoids again? Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating well. And I'm this close to drinking again. Oh. But I have not had a drink in 3.5 days. I'm mad. I'm angry. My bones hurt. I broke 2 bones in my finger punching the wall.
Oh no!
They say I was lucky. A lot of contusions.
Oh, sorry if I'm splitting hairs. What's a contusion? Is that a bruise? Because I also don't understand when people say things like "utilize" when you can just say "use." Why say contusion?
Look at him. Look at him. Look at his face. Look at his face. Look at him. Look at you.
I'm just trying to.
You're loving this. You're loving this. Every word I say, you got to micromanage every bit of it.
I think you're paying too much attention to my face, which is a lot of people do pay attention to my face just because of the way
they told me it was a contusion, and I think that's a bruise. Great. I don't know.
I just think about that a lot. Like contusion, that's 3 syllables. When you can just go bruise, that's 1. Same thing. I always think that when somebody says utilize, I'm like, utilize, that's 3 syllables when you can just say use.
You're right. Yep. Maybe some people just like to hear the sound of their own voice.
Well, that's true. And you know what? I've been waiting to have you back on, Jody, because the sound of your voice that I really want to tap into is some of the knowledge that you have where you're able to do the mental gymnastics that, well, frankly, it's not required to do mental gymnastics to be a Christian. It's just simply not because, you know, being a Christian is not intellectual suicide. In fact, it's the opposite. It makes you smarter because it's the truth, frankly. And I was, one of the things I wanted to ask you today, Jody, because you're good at understanding these concepts like Calvinism and original sin and my son Day, help me here, because my son Day, he's always trying to get into these weird philosophical arguments with me about the nature of belief, and I say, you know what, I'm not interested in the nature of belief, Day. I'm really not. I am a faith-based person because I have faith that this is the truth. And the truth is not belief. It's just truth. For instance, here's one, Jody, you can settle a bet, that people who deeply believe in heaven are not afraid of death. And people who are deep atheists are not afraid of death. It's the people in between that don't have the deep beliefs that are all worried about it. And so my son Day says, well, it seems, Mom, that it's the nature of the belief that gets the outcome you want, not the content of the belief, because opposite beliefs can create the same outcome. And you know what? He lost me way back at the nature of belief, and I can't follow any of this.
I apologize to you both. You saw an ugly side of me, and appreciate that you sat at the table with me, despite the fact that I
tried to take the table away.
I got a little triggered. Yeah. If the table could have flipped, I would have flipped it. You got me. And I'm not trying to avoid your question, Hallie. I think your boy's not unintelligent there. And sometimes it's not what we're saying, and it's apparent, you know, it's not that we got it all right. It's that we truly believe it all the way. And that is, that's good medicine for me to take right now, because, boy, I'm feeling stuff strongly. And so I think maybe I just need to turn that belief and that degree of it in the right direction.
Yeah.
And
turn that frown upside down.
Yep. Yep. Exactly that. That's a little Pat, but yeah.
Little Pat, that. The comedian?
Oh, I love Little Pat. Little He's Pat. A clean comic. I
oh,
like
did you
that.
Have Little Pat here? That was an Australian guy.
Oh, you could have Little Pat come do one of your services. He does clean content.
Sure. Yeah. Let's get your comedian friends up here and everybody can have a field day. I'm just trying to say that I. I think I spent too much time splitting hairs, and now everybody can laugh at me. So I'm no more laughing. We'll turn my focus back towards the way it's supposed to be, and that is God and the power of God, and go full bore into that.
Wow.
Awesome. And maybe this next chapter will not end in disaster.
Wow. Awesome. I'll tell you what, Jody Land, you know what? I think I just had a whisper from the Holy Spirit, because I just got a very clear vision in my head that, you know what? Gray and I might be like Job's friends right now, where his friends came to him and they said, look at you, Job, or Jody, almost the same name too.
Joby.
J-O.
It's Joby. Close. It's noticeably close.
And they said, you know what, Job? Look at you. You're covered in boils. All your kids are dead. Your livestock is lying rotting in the fields. You've lost all your land, all your property, all of your income, all your sources of income. All of your kids, your children. They say the worst thing that can happen is to lose a child, and you've lost all of them. And maybe Gray and I are supposed to sit with you right now and play those characters and say, Jody, now's the time. Curse God. And we can sit here and give you the opportunity like Job's friends did to do it. And of course, Job didn't do it. And he affirmed God and said, you know what? And you know, just to give you a little word basket of encouragement, Job didn't curse him. And guess what? He got all brand new kids and livestock and property and income sources.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind a couple of new kids right now.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, look, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you are sitting with me and you didn't have to. And I'm not easy to sit with these days. And I'm unshowered. And But I'm here and I'm present and I'm doing my damnedest, even though I've been damned.
Yeah, you know, I think that's true, because obviously if you could just get your life right, maybe if you could just figure out that, you know, what the flower is and how to water it, then maybe God will bestow a little blessing on you instead of all this other stuff that you've been going through, which seems like clearly God isn't okay with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God seems like you're on the wrong side of the coin right now. You know what I mean, bud?
What do you really think?
I'm just saying you could maybe straighten it out.
I'm wrong.
No, not you're wrong. Just look, maybe if you could clear it up with God, you know, get on his right.
Clear it up. Get correct. Do it right.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it right. I'm trying to do it right, but God keeps coming after me. Right?
Right.
Right? And you tell me you can't. Yeah, but the right thing to do is to turn the other cheek. The right thing to do. You can't curse God. Well, I have cursed God. It wasn't just Dallas took the brunt of it. I looked at God and I told God, you can eat my piles. Suck a butt. I am done with you. Fuck this. Everybody, fuck you, to my wife and to Christopher and to Lillian. They can all fucking eat it. And I'm not crossing God off the list. Okay? Is that raw theology for you? Is that too much?
Yeah,
did I cross a line there?
Did I cross a line?
Oh, you think I did? I'll show you. I'll cross a line right now.
Oh, no, don't, please.
The
don't
table's
do that.
Coming
That's
up
a
on
CD
that side.
Salad.
Oh! Oh! Jody Land was played by the indomitable Joey Bland. Check him out playing in the Improvised Shakespeare Company all around the country and follow him at JW Bland III.
I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.